This is crazy. Is this the only episode where we're not drinking alcohol?
And we're drinking coffee instead.
We're drinking coffee because it's pre-noon.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, cheers. Good morning.
Cheers. I love you. Good morning. Clink.
Good morning.
What are you drinking? Tell me about your coffee.
I made a fancy fucking Dalgona coffee, which means by the end of this episode, I'm going to be headed to the ER with heart palpitations because those are the most caffeinated coffees on earth. But I feel like it's going to go really great up until then.
Yeah. Oh, sick. Okay.
Yeah.
We are at T-minus 1.5 hours before you completely shut down, which is different from normally when we record, when we're T-minus 1.5 to 2 hours, because we hit 2 a.m. and you fall asleep.
And I have to pass out immediately. Yeah.
For those who don't know, Dylan is a Stardew Valley character where when it hits 2 a.m.
I just pass out wherever I am.
Wherever they are. We'll just die.
You
it's very
get a
funny.
Check in the mail from Harvey.
It's me. I'm Harvey, unfortunately. I'm like, hey, dude, I took $100 from your wallet because you passed out on the street and I needed to get home.
Pause. Turn your gain back down a little bit now that you're not sharing your...
No! How's this? It's better?
Gorgeous. Okay. Good. Yep. Oh, my God. Mass Effect.
Mass Effect!
Mass Effect!
I am so fucking excited. So, oh my god. No. Dylan, what are we doing here?
Oh, right. Hi,
you
my
have
name's
to do
Dylan.
It now.
My name's Dylan. I've never played a Mass Effect game.
Hello, beautiful people. My name is Robin. I've played a Mass Effect franchise 100 million times.
Uh-huh. And we are playing Mass Effect together on Dorkspawn.
Yeah. There's a little video game book club that we do. This week, we have done... Now, let me just make sure. So, we've done all of the Citadel.
Yeah.
And then we've done the main story mission, Find Liara Tassoni, which is on Therum.
Yes.
How was that for you? Talk to me about it.
Okay. So, I got my fucking squad. I got my guys. So the Citadel. So we ended the prologue just as we're like heading to or about to head to or getting to the Citadel, where we are gonna like make a case to this like intergalactic council that Shepherd should be a Spectre, would be the first human Spectre. And we're also outing Saren as a traitor to this council in the hopes that they will take some kind of action against him. So you go to this Citadel. It's like this big, cool designed sci-fi city. It's like, and there are like different, there's like a tram that you can take that takes you between the different like districts essentially, but it's like it does feel like a big sci-fi city. It's cool. And the council is there and they're kind of immediately like distrustful of what you're saying. Humans are already not like really on equal standing with everybody else in the council. You have ambassadors and that's it. You don't have like real representation yet. As humans are the newest. Actually there's two, there's humans and one other, race that's currently vying to get like representation in the council. And like,
is that the Volus? Are you talking about?
I think it's the Volus. Yeah. And it's expected that if humans get in, then Volus, it's going to like open the door for Volus to get in as well.
Yeah.
So there are different people like that you meet around this Citadel, as you're trying to, one, you're trying to get like, evidence that, that you can share about Saris's betrayal so that the council will listen. And you really want to, we want to get some like hard evidence that that this beacon is like is something serious and that we can get the council to take some action. And so running around meeting a bunch of people, first of all, just so much more sci-fi lore in this
place. It's so good. So the Citadel is a place where people are like, oh, I fucking hate the Citadel. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I was one of those guys too. This time around, fucking love this city.
I get it. Because God. I get that, like, if I were to open this game up and replay it, I would definitely feel like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to do this again. But I get it. So like the one of the things is, like, you meet a bunch of people and you get a bunch of these, like, kind of early quests. You meet some people. There's one person that asks you, well, you know what? I guess we got to get there because one of the first places that you wind up going is there's this club, this, like, nightclub area in, like,
Clora's Den.
In Clora's Den. And you go in there and you're, like, interviewing some people or whatever. And then the next time you come back, you're getting fucking shot at. You're getting, you're in a firefight and the place has been cleared out. And yeah, there's, who is that guy again? That was, oh my God, I have so many fucking names in these notes.
Fist is the person who is, like, the gang leader that kind of runs Clora's Den.
Yeah. Fist. But it's not him that gives you this job. Who gives you the scanning job is what I'm trying to get to.
Oh, I can't remember his name, but he's a Salarian. I know that.
He's a Salarian, yeah.
Scanning all the keepers, yeah.
It's because it's him and his partner, and the partner thinks that he's betrayed him, but he thought his partner was betraying him, and they were kind of just misreading each other.
Yeah.
And so in an effort to get them to, like, work back together, they tell you, like, what they're working on is there's something up with the keepers. Gotta fucking talk about the keepers. So the keepers are, I wrote, the keepers are so totally gonna be fucked up in my notes, because there are these, like, robot things that are working on the tech around the Citadel constantly. They're just always working on it. Yeah. And one of the first, like, little idle interactions you have is that a computer VI tells you, please don't disturb them. Don't bother them while they're working. Don't talk to them. Don't do anything. And then when you ask more about them, we find out that they are origin unknown. They just are this android type thing that work on the tech of the Citadel. Nobody knows why they do it, but it's the only reason why the Citadel keeps running.
And the keepers were there when the Asari originally found the Citadel. The Citadel wasn't even made by, like, the Citadel is an old Prothean, we think.
Basically anything old is Prothean.
Is Prothean. And the keepers, when the Asari came on, they just found a bunch of the keepers that are just wandering around. If they tried to kill and bisect them, they, like, self-immolated or, like, couldn't, or did something where it's like, oh, even if they die, we can't figure out what they're up to or, like, what their biology is or anything about them. So everyone's just like, ah, fuck it, just leave them.
Yeah. So they maintain everything on the Citadel and the entire place would fall apart if they ever stopped. And we just don't question it. Just let them do their work. So that's fantastic. So this guy's like, we got to scan these motherfuckers. So this quest is a total pain in the ass. Because it's just like a fetch quest, essentially, where it's like go around the Citadel things, and try to find and scan all these guys. But if you just do the main tasks that you're given on the Citadel, there are a ton of places and a ton of little idle shit that you won't see or encounter. Going to find the keepers introduced me to so much else. So, like, If I was going to do this on a second replay, especially, like, soon after, I probably would skip it. But if you're, like, getting to know this world, you got to do it because you got to, like, get exposed to, like, all the stuff that's around here. I met Shehan, who is an Elcor, and I'm in love with him.
Oh my god! All right, so there's so a thing which I really love about this game that is like coming from Dragon Age and being like, oh, Dragon Age is such like a classic fantasy. It's got like old ancient magic and all of this like weird like
legends and
rituals and heroes. This is so sci-fi that it's just so delicious. You go onto the Citadel and there are so many weird fucking species that exist. So the main ones are the Turians, Asaris, and the Salarians. They are the ones who are on the Galactic Council. So they are the first three species that, like, you know, all met each other. But then we have the Volos, which are these weird little mole men with these, like, fun little breathers. Elcor, who are the best because they have to say their emotion
before every sentence. I'm obsessed with them so much.
They're so fucking cute. You got the Hanar, who are...
I love the Hanar, too.
Jellyfish guys who have two
The Hanar
names.
Always refer to themselves as this one. They don't like, yeah. Oh, God, they're
it's cool.
So
and they have two names. They have a name with like people that they're close to, and then they have a name which is just general people, and they have a soul name, which is the name that is like they say with people that they're close to. And you have the Quinari, who is this like we get a Quinari, yeah. Not a Quinari, fuck.
No,
dumbass.
You're thinking of the.
I'm thinking of a.
You're thinking of the thing that Rex is, which is a...
No, Rex is a Krogan.
The Krogans.
The Krogan.
The Krogans Quarian. Feel like a Qunari stand-in, for like or a Qunari equivalent, because their whole...
The Quarians, though. The Quarians is what I was thinking
is
of.
Is what you were thinking
Cause
of.
Because
okay.
We get a Quarian with us.
Yes.
And then there is, the Krogans with Rex, who I love. I love my boy.
I love Rex.
And then later, we've like heard of Batarians, Geth, of course, all this stuff.
Geth,
there's just
we've
so
seen,
many different,
for sure.
Different weird shit going on. Anyway,
yeah. Super. Just all right. So much. So I meet. Barla von, who is a banker, and he's immediately suspicious. I went around, I did a lot of stuff where I was exploring around before I got a bunch of quests. So I met Barla von before I got any quest related to the Shadow Broker. So I have in my notes, Barla von, banker, suspicious question mark, and then correct, Shadow Broker, from when I came back later. We meet the Acolytes, which are... I got to talk about, cause that's like maybe my favorite thing so far that I've seen in like a fantasy or sci-fi, race, because this is the stand in for sex workers kind of, in sci-fi, which, okay. So remind me, the race is called something else.
The Asari.
The Asari, right. Yeah. So the Asari are the hot ladies of Mass Effect. It's a species that is all female, and they live for like ages and ages.
Elf years. They're like a very elven.
And they're all hot in a pretty conventional way, because they're just humans with tits, and they just have blue skin. So great. We love that. But the Acolytes that we meet here kind of introduce us to what sex work looks like in this world. And it is interesting to me, because this is a thing I'm like deep in the trenches writing an essay about how to include sex workers in like a fantasy or RPG universe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things that ticks me off a bit, is when sex work is copy pasted into whatever universe it is, and there's not a lot of effort put into thinking like of a new and interesting way that it would manifest, because this is super interesting, where you go to them and like, it definitely is 100% an allegory for a brothel, but instead of just a blanket service where they are offering like sex in exchange for money, it is you pay them and then they just know whatever the thing is that you need, like emotionally and spiritually, and they give that to you. Like they're able to like sense whatever it is, and whether it's sex or whether it's like you need to hear a specific piece of advice or like a thing, mm-hmm. or like they talk about like massages or like spiritual wisdom or whatever, like they do all of that, and it's kind of like they are able to kind of tap into whatever it is that you need at that moment and give that to you. And it's such a sought after service that they are booked out months in advance and it's impossible to get an
appointment.
Yeah,
you go and you're like, hey, can I speak to them? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
You have to wait.
But I
and
did
then she's
put
like,
myself
oh,
on
hey.
The list. Don't worry about
oh,
it.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I really think that that's really, I think that that's a really interesting approach, and I like it better than the like kind of copy pasted, like generic fantasy sex work we see in Dragon Age, which is just like, here are these nameless hookers. We'll sleep with you if you click X. Yeah. You know, like it's just an interesting, there's like some effort behind fitting it into the universe, which I think is cool. I met Executor Palin, who is the head of CSEC.
Yeah.
Which CSEC is like an academy for
it's like a police force.
Police
basically.
Force, yeah. Right, because there is the academy and then there's CSEC, so it's like it's just
yeah. What Turians are like here. very military. It's like the Turians' thing. It's why they're on the council. Whereas Salarians are like very science, and Asari is very diplomat. Which is why they're the three mages. But yeah, Tyrion's made CSEC. And yeah. That's just what CSEC is.
I met some people who are gonna join my squad right off the bat. And we meet Garrus Vakarian. They got Armenians out here. They got Armenians out in space, Robin. They got the people made it. The people made it to the stars. I'm so
why do you say this?
Armenian last names all end in either I-A-N or Y-A-N. That like sound is
huge.
That's
huge.
That's an Armenian last name. I looked it up and I was like, Garrus Vakarian Armenian, and I found we're a small people, but we're a passionate people. And I found I found a little Tumblr community that was like that is about it was about Uncle Garrow and I could not be happier about that. So yeah, Garrus immediately one of the boys. And then we met Rex, who I think is kind
of
hot. I just like his
Speaking
attitude.
Speaking of one of the boys, yeah.
Yeah, so he's also one of the boys. We do a little trial, like kind of early on in the Citadel thing. We do a little trial about Saren, where we try to tell, we approach, with our captain to the council, and we present what we know, which admittedly is just like a vision I had, and the fact that we know that he was there and touched this beacon or whatever. So not very much. And the trial is a joke. Like right off the bat, I wrote, wow, this trial is a joke, because you walk in and the trial starts and everybody's just yelling at each other. And I'm like, this is not going to go well, obviously, because there's no decorum here. And obviously they're like, we can't determine that Saren is guilty, right now.
They bring him in. They like patch Saren in, and he's like, no, I didn't do it. And it's like, well, you have it. And it's like, there come on.
And he's a Spectre. yeah. And so I'm just like, wow, this is a fucking sham. Rex is a Krogan. We meet Rex. We learn that the Krogan soldiers protected the Citadel in like the last big attack on it. Which was cool. We learn the captain starts acting fishy.
Captain Anderson.
Captain Anderson. Mm-hmm. I learned it. There's a couple ways you can learn this. Like up to like kind of the end of the Citadel, the captain can tell you, but I learned it from just like fucking snooping around all over the place that the captain was initially made a Spectre.
He
was made and he failed so spectacularly that it like never took off, and so then he was very technically the first human Spectre and didn't and failed, and so it's like a big secret because it was like scrapped. So now this is like, it's all riding on me, and we've fucked up before. Rex fucking hates Fist. So this like mob boss kind of guy that we find around the Citadel. I know I'm all over the place, but there's so much.
There's so many like small side quests that you're just going to be hopping around.
Yeah. And I'm just like kind of going by my notes, which are also all over the place. But Rex fucking hates Fist, hates this guy. And I love Rex. So when I got to Fist, it was like you had the option to spare him. And I was like, Rex was like, we're going to kill him, right? And I was like, yeah, buddy, go get him.
yeah, I did the same. Yeah.
yeah.
Garrus doesn't like that, but then is like, I guess it's less red tape for us to deal with. Because Garrus is very like for the law, but then you're like, yeah, but it doesn't work. He's like, yeah. And you're like, oh, Garrus, fine, whatever.
Garrus is very interesting because he's really skeptical of the system.
Yes.
Which I really like. And that is like, I'm kind of playing into that a lot with him. Like dialogue. He starts choices being,
he's against the system, but in a well, bureaucracy stops us from taking actual steps, but in like a cop police way at first.
Yeah.
And you can kind of swing him to be like, or like I am at the minute being like, yeah, but
yeah,
there's a hole is a bit weird. And he's like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
He's cool. Who's your main? Do you have like a main squad that you're bringing
around? It's Garrus and Rex. Those are my fucking boys.
Yeah, they're the fucking boys. I love them too. Yeah,
they're so excellent. So now I forget. So I you do this thing where you're like snooping around for evidence around the Citadel.
So you go to Fist. Rex asks you to go after Fist because Fist knows something.
Yeah,
and then Fist leads you to a Quarian who. Is about to be assassinated because she has been very open about the fact that she knows stuff. So then you rush through, kill more guys.
Yes.
And then you find like an assassination attempt just about to happen. Fight a bunch of guys and then you meet Tally.
Yeah, Tally. Yeah. Tally loves ships.
Loves ships.
Tally's fucking horny about ships. I believe I wrote that down. Yeah, Tally is horny for ships.
Yeah. There's actually a really cute bit. I don't know if you've spoken to her while she's on the Normandy.
Oh, I for sure have. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you speak to... So she's in the engine room on the Normandy. The Normandy is your camp. So
yeah, and
when
my
you're
chief
doing
engineer
like...
fucking loves Tally.
Yeah, because he's like, yeah, where did you like get her from? Because she's... she keeps like inserting herself and then like doing all this. And every option is like, do you want me to talk to her and get her to stop? And he's like, no, she's so much smarter than literally everyone on the ship. I actually love her being here because there are things that we have been doing. And she's like, don't do that. Yeah. They're like, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, no, she's a cool lady.
Yeah. She's also fascinated by the fact that humans have the tech that we have. Like, she kind of thought that we were not capable of building a ship as advanced as the Normandy, which leads us to learn that the Normandy is kind of an anomaly. It's like a brand new thing that
it's prototype.
It's first of its kind. Yeah. Where we have an engine, like our core, the size of the core that we have in a ship as small as the Normandy. And like, that is something interesting. So yeah, we meet Tally.
Tally's fun as well because the Quarians, so I don't know how much you spoke to Tally, but the Quarians invented the Geth, which are our lead antagonists.
I've exhausted every single dialogue tree.
and Tally reveals that when in the big Geth uprising, because they invented the Geth, they made a neural network between them, which I believe I talked about last week, where the more Geth that are in one place, the smarter they get. Because experimenting with AI is illegal throughout all of the galaxy. You can't experiment with AI because it's too...
But they whatever. Started as VI.
Yes.
And then they just kept making these little modifications that got them closer and closer. And it was like kind of like... From Tally's perspective, she is saying, like, we didn't realize that they got to the point that they got.
Because eventually the Geth become basically sentient because there's so many in one place that they become a sentient race. And then the Quarians are like, oh, we need to kill them to stop this from happening because they're becoming their own thing and we want them as basic, stupid robots. Then the Geth rose up and she's like, yeah. And then they slaughtered millions of our people, ran us off our planet. And now they're like, the Quarians all live on the migrant fleet, which is just a series of ships. They don't have an actual planet. They're just flying, on this one thing. And there's like, each Quarian has to go on a pilgrimage, before they hop join another crew, because they are all like ship workers basically, and it's a really cool little universe that they have the like big main ship called the Flotilla. Flotilla might be all of them, but anyway, and she's currently on her pilgrimage because a Quarian has to leave, pick up a thing that is useful for the rest of the migrant fleet, and then join another crew, and that's that's how they hop around. That's how the Quarians do. But they're just a cool little, interesting little race of people. I like the Quarians. I think they're neat.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Anyway, and then you can like kind of have a go at her for being like, well, obviously the Geth are going to fight back. They're sentient. And she's like, yeah, we just kind of wanted to nip that in the bud. And now look at us. And they killed millions of our people. And it's like, yeah, but you tried to kill them all. They're a sentient race. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, they're not real.
Yeah, but then she very reasonably is like, how many of them have tried to kill you in the last, like...
Yeah, and now look at them. They have no use for organic things.
Yeah.
They're going to slaughter everyone.
Yeah, and they're working with Saren to take over the universe, so...
Yeah.
Because I did. I also snapped back at her and I was like, well, obviously they tried to kill you. And she's like, yeah, have you met any? Do you feel differently? I was like, no, actually.
It's cool.
Might be right about that.
Okay. Yeah. Go back to the main story. Oh. I got excited about companions,
so
but feel
we
free
also,
to
continue. So I have learned like that the captain was the first Spectre. But then after I get some evidence from around the Citadel, we reapproach the council and they are like, yeah, you're so right. Saren did betray us. We've revoked his Spectre status. But that's about all we can do. We can't really spare any resources for this big mission or whatever. And like, we're not going to send a whole army out to just track down one man. He has no more privileges. He can't do all the things that he used to be able to do, like just walk into whatever country and planet and system and you know, break rules, etc. He's on his own now. And I'm like, so send me. I will Mm-hmm. I'll handle it because we need to find. Sorry, it's not the beacon is the thing we already touched, but there's the thing that they talked about on the ship that we got that transmission about.
Yes.
Because, oh, while you find that, because in the transmission that we're able to show the council, we are able to show them that it's Saren and that he's working with that woman, the matriarch. And we learn that the matriarch is very powerful and is also has a daughter out working on Prothean dig sites, looking for more, you know, relics and science and things out there. And so the idea that's presented to us is like, A, maybe the daughter knows something, or also maybe the daughter is working with them. We should go find her and figure that out. And that is Liara Tisani. And so I
can't find the exact name of what it is, but it does say that they're goal is to bring back the Reapers is a thing that they state is what they're trying to
bring back the Reapers, which jogs my memory because I've got all these like kind of pieces of visions that the beacon gave me. And then I realized that it's a vision of the Reapers destroying everything. Mm. And that the Reapers wiped out the Protheans. So like the world before, this world that we're trying to scavenge for parts, it was destroyed before by the Reapers. And so now they're going to try to bring it back. Mm-hmm. The conduit.
Conduit. Thank you. God, that was taking me fucking forever.
The conduit is what they're looking for. That was something that I think the beacon was helping them to find. We are trying to find, we want to find it first before Saren does. Or we want to stop Saren from finding it, whatever we can do. Because they're going to bring back the Reapers and they're going to destroy fucking everything. So they make me a Spectre. In this, when we present all this evidence to them, they make me a Spectre. They're like, all right, this is your chance. And then they tell me some things about Spectres. They say, which they're like, Spectres are not trained. They're chosen. And I'm like, so I wrote down like, this feels too easy. And then I realized that I was like, this is like akin to becoming a Grey Warden. Like you get this. This isn't this title. It's not a privilege. Like it's not a, you know, like this is not a gift. This is fucked up. This is a curse.
It's an interesting thing because it's why you start the game having finished a previous game. Like you start Mass Effect 1 having already done like a crazy big deed and like saving a bunch of people, being a war hero, the sole survivor of this like giant war, being this like incredibly ruthless person. It's why that it's like you are, and it's fun because they say, the council say Spectres are chosen. Captain Anderson says Spectres are born. Like in an earlier thing when you're talking to him about Spectres, he's like, oh, a Spectre is born. You are born a Spectre and you will just always be that. Like, people are just destined for it. And then the council are like, no, we pick people.
It's very interesting for Captain Anderson to say that specifically.
Yeah. And there's also out of the billions and billions and trillions of people in the galaxy, there is under 100 Spectres, but nobody actually knows how many Spectres there are. But it is almost definitely under 100 people. Yeah. Out of every
this
fleet.
Is another thing about the Citadel and about Mass Effect, it seems, in general. This game fucking loves elevators. There are elevators everywhere.
Mass Effect 1 does have a bit of an elevator problem.
Yeah.
It's actually fun because the elevator problem is actually referenced by Dorian in the Descent DLC of Inquisition, where when you're going down the elevator,
he does say something.
He references the fact that it's just a very long elevator, which is Because I was looking at Dragon Age Mass Effect references, and it's like, oh, it's a, I can't remember exactly what he says, but it's like, that's a direct reference to the fact that Mass Effect 1 has a lot.
Yeah, because some of the elevators, you're in them for a really long time, and it seems like we're only going one story up or down.
It's so that, because I think, which I do like, they don't have a lot of, or really any.
No, I love this. I wrote it down to like
squad conversation, walking around. Again, this was 2 years before Origins really perfected it. So they do all their squad talking, and you can get missions by going into the elevator, and the squad will talk amongst each other, or you'll hear a news report of different things that you can go investigate in the galaxy, which I think is really cool.
Here's one thing that I heard in an elevator that I haven't stopped thinking about for days, and I actually don't think I ever am going to stop thinking about it. It is because it is the Elcor Hamlet.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Robin, right now, do I get to see Elcor Hamlet? Is it somewhere?
No, you don't.
It doesn't matter because I know it's good. I know it's good because they're like, they're like, we want to give you the opportunity to judge Hamlet by his deeds and not by his emotions. And I was like, oh, you're geniuses. I'm so obsessed. I'm so obsessed with them. I love the Elcor so much.
I love the Elcor.
I love the Elcor, and I love Elcor Hamlet. I know it's brilliant. I know it is.
And it's a fun thing. It's a thing that I think is fun about this universe, is that they can just reference us in the world, because it's not a fantasy realm. It's our worlds. And it's like, Hamlet is a real thing that exists.
Right. Earth exists. Yeah.
Earth exists. And the things that we did on Earth exist.
Yeah.
Elcor are great because Elcor, I can't remember if it's in this game or just a later one. They talk about how they fight because they don't have any opposable thumbs. They just have, they strap giant cannons to their back, and they just like walk slowly, and they fire just like, they're all a mounted cavalry. And I just think it's just cute. I love them so much.
I love them.
They're so fucking good. Yeah.
Immediately after I become a Spectre, the captain steps down as captain and gives me the Normandy.
Yeah.
and I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? I don't trust it. So I like really push him to tell me the truth about like why he's doing that. And he reveals that not only was he the first Spectre, the reason that he's not anymore is not because he fucked up. It's because Saren sabotaged him and set him up to fail. And like, so Saren, there's something fucking personal about this. Saren, we get a vibe that like everybody kind of hates humans a little bit, but particularly what are they called?
The Turians.
Turians. Particularly the Turians. Like the Turian that's on the council is like way more aggressive towards us than everybody else. We have Saren. Even that guy in the beginning who was like set to watch over us was a little skeptical of humans.
Nihilus, yeah.
Yeah, Nihilus. So we get that kind of vibe that like, oh, we're not well liked by the Turians. But Saren like really personally had it out, and he hates fucking humans. Definitely doesn't want us in there. I met Conrad Werner, who called me hero of Eden Prime, and asked for my autograph.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to him.
Yeah. Same.
Okay, cool. I'm really excited to see what that is, because there's now just a quest in my folder that's like, if you see this guy again, talk to him. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I also got I met a Hanar preacher. So these Hanar are like kind of like jellyfish guys who are so fun. But I meet one who's preaching out on the street, and he's getting harassed by a CSEC officer who's like telling him he can't be here. And he doesn't have a permit, and they're arguing. So I go up to him and I'm like, what's going on over here? He says that there's a permit that you need if you want to preach and solicit in any part of the Citadel. He believes that because he's just telling the truth, he shouldn't need a permit. Yeah. It's not preaching. I'm just saying the truth. But what the truth is that he says is that the End Kindlers, which is what the Hanar believe the Protheans are, they call them the End Kindlers, are the ones that gave the Hanar the ability to speak. They gave them the ability to use voice, which they didn't have before. And so I talked to the officer, I talked to the Hanar, and then I had a chat with the Hanar. You can do a couple of things. You can like literally be like, arrest that guy. But I went to him and I was like, hey, so if like the Protheans gave you speech, is this what they would want you to do with it? They would want you to be like harassing people in public about the End Kindlers. And he eventually was just kind of like, oh, I guess you're right. This was a waste of my time. And then and left, which I thought that was really fun.
It is fun.
There
is a CSEC, kind of like one of the heads of CSEC. You go into a bar. And there's a girl there who's like, oh, my sister is working in Clora's Den, but she's working like for CSEC and is going to get shot and killed. I need you to go like help her.
Oh,
out.
Yeah.
And you go in and you go in, you speak to her. It's fun because every time I walked into Clora's Den, I'd speak to her because she had the little icon and she'd be like, I'm busy right now. I'll get to you later in a second. And I was like, okay. And then I got that mission. I went up and I was like, oh, that's you. And then I was like, hi. And she was like, oh, hello. I'm kind of busy. And I was like, hey, so do you want to talk about how you're working for the government? And she's like,
yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah.
I was like, she's like, I actually don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And then she left. And then as you're walking out, you get like shoulder barged by a Turian that's like, meet me over here and I'm gonna tell you more information. You're like, oh, cool, okay. And then you meet them. It turns out that she's scoping for CSEC.
There's another cool one where there's the Acolytes, the consort.
This one is cool.
There's a guy that's like, so actually I got this initially another one because I was just roaming around and I met Shehan, the Elcor, who was, I walk into a room and he's stated complaint. And then he's like, he's bitching about somebody. He's gossiping. And his other friend is like, these are serious allegations. We can't look into it. And so he's just pissed off. Because he's got a consort friend, and I didn't take good notes on this, but it's like the consort won't see him anymore, and he's so heartbroken about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks it's some guy's fault who's spreading rumors about him or whatever, and like told her not to see him anymore.
Yeah.
And so you got to go to like the consort, find out like what's going on there. And then you have to go find the guy in the bar, tell him to stop being a fucking dick and spreading rumors. And then you kind of like get him back together with his hooker mistress who he loves. It's so fun.
It is fun. And I had Garrus with me and, when you're talking to him and he's like a bit of a wreck about the fact that he can't see her, Garrus is like, what could a woman do to get you like this? And I was like,
you want to find out, Garrus?
Yeah, I'm going to romance the fuck out of this guy. So actually, okay. We've briefly touched on Liara. We've talked about Tali, Rex. We have Ashley and Caden.
Yes.
Do you have an idea for a romance?
Well, so, okay, so there's, so then, so actually, we're going to talk about this because then we go back, after all of this happens and I become a Spectre and I become the captain, et cetera, et cetera, the next thing is to find Liara Tassani. So I get back on the ship, mm-hmm. on the Normandy. I'm the captain now. The first thing that happens is I go talk to everybody. And I had a chat with Caden. And I've now realized that this is sort of like a Dragon Age Origins thing where I'm not gonna get like a clear indicator telling me when I'm choosing
like romance options.
People will just, so I'm having this conversation with him, and at the end of it, he's just like, wow, I'll have to think about that. And I was like, oh fuck, did I flirt with you? Because I'm not interested. But I didn't get the opportunity to say that. So I did accidentally flirt with Caden Alenko. It's fine. I'll deal with it.
I also did. I think Caden is a bit of an Alistair where it's easy. He just kind of falls for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really easy to flirt with him. So I did get my first taste of like the flirtation in this game. I went and spoke to Joker. I got Joker's backstory.
Love Joker's backstory. Joker's
crazy
really cool.
About Joker's backstory.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Oh my god!
I was so close to spoiling it last week because I'm so excited. I think Joker is so fucking cool.
Joker's so cool. So for anybody who doesn't know, we talked to Joker and he's got this really wild sense of humor. Like he's very, very glib, very, very like Wash-esque, like kind of attitude.
Firefly guy, that is.
Firefly. So, but in a really fun, charming way. It's also, he's voiced by Seth Green. It all comes together so well.
He is great in this as well. Seth Green is really
good.
He's
excellent. He's absolutely excellent. We talk to him and he reveals that, and he kind of like defensively reveals that he's got a pretty serious disability that he was born with, that he basically has like a hollow bone syndrome where being born, all of his bones were broken just from having to be born. Like it's so easy for his bones to shatter. And so he can't, it's kind of also the backstory why he's not getting off this ship and fighting with you. He's not going to be a member of your squad ever. He's going to stay on this ship. But he tells you his backstory about like, you know, how the challenges he faced getting here and that like, but you don't understand, like I am the best pilot that any species has ever seen. Like you, the amount I worked to get here with this, you'll never get a better pilot. Like, and it's just like, it's really good. And I'm going to just really briefly shit on the Veil Guard for a second. because like, I know, like, there's a lot, like, in this that is, like, I don't know if you've ever kind of heard this kind of critique, but, like, there is a difference in how language has evolved to be more sanitized, but doesn't really advance, like, representation in a meaningful way.
Sure.
So, like, in Veil Guard, one of our companions kind of has a prosthetic. It's never mentioned. It's never drawn attention to. And if you don't like squint and look for it, you would actually never know that it's there.
Yeah.
And so it's not a part of their story. It's not brought up at all. It's just sort of an artistic like background choice and it doesn't carry a lot of weight or meaning. And I know that like, you know, like in this dialogue tree, you have the option to be kind of a prick to Joker and to be pretty offensive to Joker. But if you are, like I was looking and like Joker gives it the fuck right back to you and like is like, fuck you. Like you can't possibly underestimate me because I know that I'm the best that there is. And it has nothing to do with this. Like,
that like even the first thing we hear from Joker is Captain Anderson is like, oh, good job. And he's like, actually, that was the best fucking job in the world. Like, yeah. I'm so good at this. How dare you say good job?
Good
I know
job.
I'm way better than good.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
every time you speak to him, he's like, yeah, I'm the best that there ever has been, is, and will be. Like, yeah. I am the greatest. And
he's
yeah,
great. There's this, like, you know, there's this, you know, I hate to bring Tumblr into this, but there is like a really good piece that someone wrote that was like, which, like when it's like this, like, which ally would you rather have? And it's like the person that uses all the right language but doesn't fucking lift a finger or do anything, versus like someone who uses language in a kind of messy way but is ready to be on your side. And that's kind of how I feel about like having representation where it's the same way I feel about like having stories like Dorian's, which are like uncomfortable and like possibly offensive, to like have a story where like you have magical magical conversion therapy like in this story versus like gay characters who are just sort of gay in the background and don't like it doesn't like come up at all. I just really liked that. I really liked that he's messy and proud and cool, and that his disability is like an informed piece of his character.
Yeah.
I think that
he
that
makes fun
rules.
Jokes like he's like, as long as I'm sat in this chair and flying this ship, like I'm essentially unkillable. The only time that I'm gonna get screwed over is if I go take a piss and I step wrong. And then, like that's it. And it's like he's just a fun, cool guy. And he's also so not the only like disabled character who's like in the main cast, because Caden, if you talk to Dr. Chuckworth, Caden has constant migraines because he is an L2. He has L2 biotic implants, not
L3.
Yeah. And L2 are just bad. The doctor's like, yep, he's always having migraines and needs to be on painkillers constantly and is like, just kind of fucked. And it's
but
just
the
cool,
doctor also
thing.
Says that he's lucky that's all he gets.
That's
like
all
a lot
that
of
he
people
gets.
Are yeah. like are completely paralyzed or die or like.
It's just cool. It's a fun. What a good game.
Yeah.
What a cool cast of characters.
Yeah. So anyway, I brought that up because I've talked to everybody. I talked to everybody on the ship. Got to know everybody a little bit. I accidentally flirted with Cade Malenko. It's fine. We'll be fine. this is going to be tough unless somebody. It could change if something happens and somebody, you know, strikes me in the heart. I might change my mind, but I think the dream is that I romance Garrison too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't romance Garrus in one. In one, you can only romance Liara, Ashley, if you're a boy, Caden, if you're a lady.
Yeah.
Garrus opens up in two. Tally opens up in two as well.
I believe I saw that, yeah.
Can never fuck a Krogan. Upsetting.
Stupid. Cowards.
Yeah, for real. And then there's like a whole bunch of new characters in two. That's good for me to know. Because I didn't want to... I've never romanced Garrus, but there is a song that is remixed of his romance. Like some romance lines of his that I'm so horny for that I was excited to do it, but I won't, because I'm wandering around this ship and I'm like, I'm pretty sure Shiv is a lesbian and I'm going to be the messiest. So my idea is I'm going to sleep with Liara in this one.
Excellent. I already love this.
In two, I'm going to sleep with someone else. And then I'm going to settle for like a third who is like it was always you in three.
Love that.
So I'm
love
just gonna that. I'm just gonna be sleeping around with a bunch of different people.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah. I did also flirt with Caden. I was curious about it and I Googled it, and people say that Caden is one of the best romances, which I really like. But then it was one of the things where people are just like, I was reading a Reddit thread of like, who do you think the best romance is? And people just bouncing around to so many different characters being like, oh no, this is the best, this is the best, this is the best. Yeah. No one said Jack, who was my favorite romance of two, just because I love her. But yeah,
oh,
good.
Oh, so we haven't met Jack.
Jack's in two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, good to know. Good mm-hmm. to know that you're going for Garrus. I will send yeah. you the song after we wrap Mass Effect 3.
yeah. I'm really getting into it. So okay. So then after I meet, after I go back on the ship and we're talking to everybody, it's also, so, oh, I also talk to Caden. Caden tells me something about, you know what? Actually, this happened after. So let's see. So we go to go find Liara. So this is the part where I got nervous because years ago when I did try this game, I sure. did not get very far. I got as far as the find Liara Tassani mission. As soon as the Mako hit the ground, I pretty much, I think I played in the Mako for like 20 minutes and then quit the game and never came back because I mm-hmm. found the driving so frustrating. And I just kept dying because I think I kept flipping the car. I don't know. It was just like, it was just not working and I was a mess. I took my time with it. I'm still really bad at shooting while driving. I'm bad from like a motor skills standpoint game. But I took my time with it. I made it through. And I got, the planet is pretty cool. It's like, there's lava everywhere. Mm-mm. There are all these like retired dig sites all over the place. There is one crazy big fight that I died in twice. And
with the dreadnought at the end of the,
I didn't fight. I saw the dreadnought a couple times. But I didn't fight it.
It's not a dreadnought. It's the giant, the big geth thing.
Holy!
Before you go inside, I tell you what. You saying what you died fuck? Twice? I was almost double figures. I was like, how the fuck do I kill this thing? And it's like
nothing I did to it was doing anything, and its shield anything. Recharges like crazy.
You need every member of your team up to kill that thing.
Oh
I was incensed by how hard I found that fucking fight. Yeah. I tried to skip it. I got one time I reloaded and I ran immediately up to the bridge to be like, I'm just gonna skip it. And then I was like, oh, I can't. I'm literally locked into this. I have to kill this thing. It's fucking
tough.
Holy
smokes. It's so tough. And I'm still figuring out the abilities a little bit. I'm finding that really tricky to manage in combat, like my Spectre abilities and my Sentinel abilities, like using my shield boost is pretty easy, but it's the one that I'm trying to get the handle on is like the one that's like Disrupt, I think it's called, or whatever. Like,
sure.
I'm finding that mechanically a little bit tricky, so I wind up just shooting like everything.
Yeah, and guns are the main thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so combat I'm still figuring out, but that was fucking tough.
It's a tough one.
That
it's
was
really
a fucking
difficult.
Tough fight. And I used everything, and then we go into this dig site. The dig site is like, once you start getting down in there, it's like busted up, and we find Liara Tassani suspended and stuck behind like a really big shield barrier that she locked herself in to protect herself when the Geth arrived. Mm. And she says that they're trying to get in and that there's a Krogan with them that's like trying to find a way in here to open up to unlock this dig site. So we have to figure out a way. There's there's a bunch of Geth down there. You have to fight them. And then you have to like go down underground. You find another elevator. We love elevators.
Love elevators.
And you come up behind the shield. You're able to disable it, get her out. And the place starts to crumble because you've like, you've set off
just like a self.
Yeah.
Destructy thing, yeah.
And so the place starts to like crumble around you as you're running out, and then you get attacked by this Krogan, and you're like, do you really want to have like a fight right now? Because this place is going to crash and kill all of us. And he's like, yeah, sounds fun. Sounds fucking great. I love that. I would love to die in combat with a piece of shit human being. And I was like, oh, okay. So you fight him, you kill him, you get out. Joker does like a sick rescue mission. He mentions it later that it's
He brings up that how fucking good it was.
And then back on the ship, we've now got Liara Tassani, and now everybody is feeling on edge and suspicious because Liara is the daughter of this person that we know is working with Saren. She says, I have nothing to do with that. I'm not a part of that. I swear, but obviously everybody's suspicious and feeling distrustful. Ashley is super racist about all aliens.
Speak to Ashley, it's actually surprising how racist she is.
I told her off.
I was like, I'm your commanding officer. Because at first I was like, so humans have only known that aliens have existed at all for like, I think it's under 35 years. So I'm like, all right. I mean, I appreciate that you're going to be a little spooked, but this is my ship. Don't tell me how to run it. Because she's like, yeah, we should be doing this on our own. Are you sure they should be poking around the ship, having access to all areas? And I'm like, babe, cool yourself, actually. It's fucking crazy how you're talking to me right now is fucking insane.
Yeah. We talked to Tally, talked to all my guys. And then I'm talking to Kaden, and Kaden tells me he doesn't trust the council. And talks about, his exposure to Element Zero.
Yes. So Element Zero is what's used in Mass Effect relays. And that's what gives people biotic abilities. It's what gives people biotic abilities. It's kind of the start of it. And then, because that's what I have in Shiv's backstory, is because there was a big Element Zero like kind of thing on Earth. And she was exposed to it. And then to properly use biotics, you have implants at the base of your brain that help you like control it. Unless you're if you're human, if you're Asari, you don't need it because Asari can just do that.
They can just do it.
Anyway.
So he doesn't trust it. He thinks that the council is like doing this on purpose to people, for an ulterior motive.
Yeah, because he went to a bit of like a like kids military training camp, essentially. Like
he was
kids
taken,
who have biotic abilities. And kind of just forced to train and be good at it. And he doesn't really know what happened to.
Right. Because it's like, oh, you've been exposed. Well, now in order to prevent you from dying, you need this implant.
Yeah. And he says that he believes that people like expose pockets of Element Zero to then get people biotics and take them away. And he's like a bit of, he says like a bit of a conspiracy theory about it.
And now you're indebted to the government.
Exactly.
That's a pretty cool storyline.
I forgot, but I did just have to confirm whilst we were talking about romances. Kaden is only romanceable by a female shepherd in one, and in three, he realizes that he's bi, and you can romance him as male or female.
Love that, actually. Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
I love that.
It's good.
Because that is a bisexual, I will say. that is.
Yeah.
Not Ashley, though. That's a trad wife. She's a homesteader.
Yeah.
talked to Tally. I learned about the history of the Geth. I talked to Krogan's. Rex, and he was telling me about the Krogan history, which is that the Solarians created a genophage, which is like a viral warfare. And apparently they attacked many people. The Solarians did, and Solarians even tried to wipe out humans at first when they first encountered us. And I brought that up, and he was like, it is not the same.
Turians. The Turians tried to wipe out humanity. Because the Solarians made the genophage, which is the viral disease.
The Turians enacted it and then began to
wipe out Krogans. Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay. That's why I had Solarian written down. Okay. So the Solarians made the genophage. The Turians tried to kill humans when they first met us. And then I said, like, oh, yeah, they tried to kill us too. And he was like, no, you don't understand. They unleashed this virus on us. Everyone is infected. Every single Krogan is...
1 in 1,000 Krogan children are born and live. Every single other one is a stillbirth or dies in the womb.
Yeah.
And he's like, we are at a time bomb. We're a dead people. There's nothing to us. Yeah, we're like going to die soon.
And apparently, like, it's just because they don't have any, like, centralized group, they're not doing anything to really, like, try and rebuild. They're just, like, because they don't want to settle down. The Krogans, like, as a group, don't like to settle. They want to be out doing merc work.
They want to fight and explore and do all that. And it's like, he said, have you ever seen a Krogan scientist? And it's like, no, I guess not. He's like, yeah, there you go. The only people who care about saving us are us, and we just don't have the infrastructure to do that. So
Yeah, very interesting.
It's great. Love the Krogans.
So much world, so much, just so fucking much. I have no idea where I stand Paragon versus
Renegade.
I've gotten notifications in either direction a bunch. I don't know where I am.
Unless you're playing like directly, I'm only going to click. Because the first time I ever played it, I was like, well, why would I be Renegade? So I just clicked up. The like positive option every single time is the one that I clicked. So obviously I had Max Paragon immediately and super easy. But if I'm playing the actual character, which I am an actual character, it's like, you kind of fluctuate in the middle.
Yeah.
Constantly like throwing some Renegade, throwing some Paragon in there.
Yeah.
And
then I just, right before I quit, I was like, all right, well, let's go. I know I have another quest on another planet to go to, but now I've just tried, I'm going to try exploring a little bit on my way. Mm-hmm. So I've just landed. I'm in the Mako again, which I'm dreading because it so far that is the part that I still dislike the most. I'm just not good at it and I struggle with it. But I do like the scanning planets thing. I think that's kind of a fun, like, little exploration tool codex thing that I don't think I got that last time when I tried to play it. I don't think I knew what that was about.
Yeah, I'm glad that you like it because that is something that we are going to be doing huge amounts into, because it is almost a necessary thing. Is this like they introduce a new scanning planets mechanic, so you don't like have to go down onto each planet. It's like a resource getting mini game that we have to do. We have to sink like a significant amount of hours into it.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's great.
I'm glad that you like that. Also, just the last little thing. When Liara gets on the ship, this is our equivalent of a roommate meeting. It's like we're all sat around. It's like the squad that are dealing with Saren. Liara brings up that Prothean ruins are common because the Protheans kind of just invented everything that we are using to get around. But it's like Prothean information is incredibly rare. It's the Protheans like wiped all clues to what happened to them and all clues to like how to use a lot of things was completely destroyed. And that's what Liara's looking for. And she thinks that because the Protheans got completely annihilated, and she has a theory that they weren't the first species in the cycle. In the cycle of like, if we are to say that the Protheans were the last cycle, we are the current cycle of things exploring the galaxy.
Yeah.
Because it seems that the, there's a thing of like the Protheans may have, like the Protheans 50,000, exist 50,000 years ago. And it seems like they had a war with this, with these things called the Reapers, which is what Liara was saying. And it seems like they both like kind of killed each other, or something happened and no one really knows.
I found that conversation with Liara really funny because she introduces herself and she's like 100 and something, which is young for an Asari, but still she's dedicated her entire life to researching Protean dig sites. And she's like, yeah, we know that the Protheans were wiped out. They've hidden all this information and they we can't find it. No one can. And I've looked for it everywhere. And I'm just like, oh yeah, they were wiped out by
the Reapers.
The Reapers wiped them out. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, yeah, I touched a beacon. I have visions. And she's like, oh. And it's a real bummer of a moment where she's dedicated her entire life to researching this.
And you accidentally progressed her information far more, yeah?
Yeah. It's a real bummer of a moment. and I felt bad delivering it, truly. But
it's funny. How are you finding the game?
I love it. I feel like the Citadel, as I was playing like the first, you know, little bit where I was running around and just like getting the atmosphere and hearing the elevator codex entries and finding people, talking to people, whatever. And I was like, this feels like home to me. Like, this is like, I feel very at home. I'm still really, really bad at the combat in this. Like, I just struggle with shooting games.
Yeah.
But I, you know, whatever. Like, because the atmosphere of it.
Just the walking around and talking to people is
great. The atmosphere of it is really good. The story has me hooked a little bit. And just the world, the story, these characters are already really interesting. Like, all the things that are really important to me, like, I will get through the combat because it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool. I love it. And not to bring up the devil. but it feels great to talk to characters and they have opinions and thoughts. I'm going to tell you this, crazy. I love the fact that Ashley is just an abhorrent racist, because it's like, oh, you have thoughts and opinions and we can talk about it. And you could be like, that's crazy. What do you mean? And she's like, I just don't trust any race that's not human. And it's like, that's an insane opinion to hold. Why do you like, and well, then you can talk about it. And then she's like, I mean, my family was military. Like, my mom, dad were military. My grandparents were military. We've been our first ever interaction with an alien race is because they shot us out the sky. I just don't like the fact that they're wandering around. And it's like, I don't know, she just has thoughts and opinions and it's cool. Yeah. And then you can say that she's racist.
Which
then
shapes
walk
the world.
Over to Garrus. And it's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can, and it's not like she's so just naturally inherently evil that it's like, look, we can point and laugh at her. And then you go and talk to Rex and Rex is like, yeah, no, everyone except for Krogan sucks because they've all, we are being genocided right now.
Currently.
Like, yeah. And it's because it wasn't like it's a genocide that they can stop. No, they, or they could if they wanted, but they gave every single Krogan a disease and it all fucking sucks. And you're like, ooh, that sucks.
And the council's
doing
nothing.
And you go over to Tally
nothing.
And exactly. And then you go over to Tali and she's like, yep, no, we've been fucked over by pretty much. And everyone just has, the world has just had so much history in it. Everyone has thoughts and feelings about other people on the ship. And it's just great. It's just so fucking good. I just love how they all talk and interact with each other. And you can, in elevator scenes, you have like Rex was making fun of Garrus and
I like their banter a lot.
Yeah, and it's just cool. I just love the crew. I just think they're really fun. I like people who have things where it's like I'm talking to them and then it's like I bet the next time I talk to you I'm going to find something else out about who you are and what you feel and how you walk around the world. If you weren't here on this ship, I can feel what you're doing. I also understand why you're on this ship, because there's a thing of like, oh well, they're there because, you know, it's just like they're military and they're kind of contracted to, but it's also, you know, there is some form of loyalty that everyone has towards Shepard immediately. Everyone is also kind of there because they're like, I actually fucking hate this Saren guy and I want him to go down. And that's why everyone
joins
together.
Right, they have personal reasons to want to join. Yeah.
It's just cool. I just like it.
Yeah, and like not everybody trusts me like right away. Like Ashley, you know, like I put her in her place, but she doesn't like take my opinion seriously. She's just, I'm her captain and she's... she's falling in line. Like I haven't changed her mind. But I think it's an interesting thing because like if you're going to build a world wherein things like bigotry exists, you have to give people the option or the opportunity to be against it. Otherwise, you've just put it there and then that's the end of it. And so having the option, the ability to take a hard line stance on it, makes for a more interesting world and for a more interesting character for you.
Yeah. I think as well, I might be wrong, but I think that you can play an evil character to the point where you can say no aliens on my ship and you just won't have Rex, Tali, or Garrus on your ship. And I think that they're just not in it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, no, I'm not. I'm almost 100% sure that you can do that to Garrus.
And you can definitely distrust and decide not to take Liara, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's just cool. It's, and as well, you can feel the bones of Origins.
I feel it.
You've got the campsite, which is the Normandy, which I think is a great campsite.
Oh my God. Exploring the Normandy was very fun. Because you know what the thing is that like, yeah, your crew is like pretty spread out, but in between there's also like there's ambient dialogue happening from the other crewmates. There's there are other like side characters who aren't like your squad that have bits of story and things like that you can encounter.
There's again like non-squad mates who just have like interesting things to say. Like Joker is less so because Joker is like a character, like full.
Yeah,
like he's one of the boys.
That's my boy, yeah.
But then there's like Navigator Presley, who also is a little sus that there's a lot of aliens on the ship because, but he falls in line faster because he's less like. I think he's. Whereas Ashley is like, we're friends, right? I can talk to you like this and you can tell her to shut up because you're her commanding officer. Navigator Presley's like, you are my commander. And I is like, oh, I don't know how we feel about this. And he's just like a little more on the back foot. And then you have Dr. Chakwas, who she's like an older woman. And is like, so why are you here? And she's like, oh, this is fucking boring.
This is boring. Like, yeah, she's excited to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the adventures and healing. Yeah, it's cool.
And then my chief engineer, who I like, I was bracing myself for him to be suspicious of aliens. And he was like, this fucking alien's a genius. get me more of her on this team. This team sucks.
All these humans are dumb as bricks. So smart. No, love it. I don't know if you spoke to Liara at all. I don't think we mentioned Liara Post. She digs into your like personnel file, which I think is fun. I didn't get a whole bunch from her, but because I think I was talking to her and my mind was like slightly elsewhere because I'm like, do I romance you? And I couldn't think of I was listening to what she was saying. I was studying her face and I was like, you're not normally a character that I like to romance. But maybe I romance you for the messiness of romancing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think that's going to be fun. Yeah. No, yeah. I have to fuck Varys. It's crazy.
Yo, Varric.
Garrus.
Oh Garrus. There you Garrus. Go. You can't get it. Can't get him out of your damn mind.
I can't. Yeah.
He is Varric, though. You can kind of see where the seeds of this best friend character are coming from. He goes, because he's also in all
I'm
of
not
them,
seeing
this,
that
like
yet, but
a friend, but he, like, it's fully, like, he becomes, like, you almost don't have a choice with the fact that he's your best friend.
Interesting. Okay.
But also, I fucking love Garrus. I just love the Garrus. Turians. I think the Turians look great, and they all sound really cool, and I just love that, like, grumble to their voice, man.
This voice actor is just so fucking outstanding.
Oh my god, I love him. Good. The fact that he's not Brandon Keener is his name. The fact that he's not in everything all everything. The time is stupid. He has the best voice.
Yeah, he's crazy good.
Yeah, no, he's a cool guy. Last little thing, because we briefly mentioned the Shadow Broker. The Shadow Broker is an interesting character in this universe. It's one person, and nobody knows who they are. But they know pretty much everything. And if you need something, like everyone from like the lowest level criminal up to literally the Galactic Council are like, the Shadow Broker probably knows it. Like, people are kind of looking for them, but if you look for the Shadow Broker, you're going to get fucked over because the Shadow Broker will know that you're looking for them. It's a whole thing. It's very interesting. And a line that I really like from Captain Anderson, which was he's like, he's just mentioning how good the Shadow Broker is, and then he says, well, he is, she is, they are, I don't know, and it's like, haha. You accidentally added a little bit of non-binary representation into my guy.
Non-binary intergalactic mob boss.
fucking dream.
Yeah.
Love it. Anyway. Anyway. So, do you have any more notes? Any more additions?
No. Oh, I mean, I did that thing with the strange frequencies kind of thing where there I found a kind of gambling machine that was hacked to give money out to specific people and like tracked all the sensors to this AI that was gonna self-destruct to kill me because it couldn't figure out a way to escape. And I deactivated it. I didn't fight it. Mm-hmm. But now there's a planet where the signal was traced. Garrus traced the signal to a specific planet. So I'm going to go there soon.
Did you speak to the person who wanted his wife's body back?
Yes, and I got them to deliver it. I convinced the council.
Very good. Yeah. I convinced him that it was more important that his wife's body was to be looked over by the Alliance military, and he is not happy about it.
No kidding.
Which is fair. Did you speak to Emily Wong, the reporter?
Oh yeah, I told that bitch to get out of my fucking face.
I gave her all the shit about Fist that I had.
I was like, are you kidding me? This is government business. What the fuck is your
problem?
That's
so fun. Because if you give it to her, your next, but at some point in the elevator, you hear the news report of like, the story has broken and it starts causing, like, people are like, oh my fucking God, that's crazy. It's a fun thing that you can then hear that you're like the effects of the shit that you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, we got that. Oh, yeah, I just have Geth Mech, and then that's tough in giant capitals because that fight is stupid. Is
wild. Holy shit.
Perfect. Perfect. I do believe. Yeah. I do believe that that's it. So, next week, we are going to be doing three missions. We're going to be going to Neveria and Pharos, two places. Two exciting missions that have big, big choices, and I'm really looking forward to to what happens with that. And we are also doing, after I believe both of us are playing on the legendary mode.
Yeah.
So after level 11, the mission, rogue VI side mission, turns up in, I think it's literally on the moon. It's on Earth's moon. So that mission turns up. We're going to go there because that unlocks like a specialization for Commander Shepard, but then also has... it's optional, but it unlocks like a thing for our character and has big implications in the future. So that's the only one that I was like, we need to do this. But yeah, so we're going to be doing the UNC Rogue VI mission after level 11. We are going to be doing Noveria and Pharos. And then that's great. Where we'll be. Yeah.
And then like those side things, like going to like track the signal or like anything like that we can do.
As much or as little of the side content as you want, as long as it is not the mission Bring Down the Sky.
Got it.
And you don't go to Vermeier. Vermeier is a main mission, but I don't think it procs till later. But
okay, cool.
Yeah, Bring Down the Sky DLC is going to be the week after.
Okay, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Also, the week after is going to be like a big we're going to have like a lot of time because it's only two missions that we're going to be doing. So you can that's going to be a very big like just do all of the side content that you want to do.
Okay.
As soon as we finish Vermeier, it's end game. And it's like we have to go do all the shit.
Cool. Good to know.
And you can only do the main missions. Yeah.
Oh, my God. But exciting.
Yeah. I'm actually stoked. I'm overwhelmed with joy that you like this game.
I am too. I was a little nervous. I was genuinely a little nervous because
I was as well.
Because just like, I was worried that the mechanic struggles that I knew I was going to have were going to be too much. But I'm now that I've done like a couple of main missions, including like a tough one. Like a really tough fight.
Yeah, weirdly tough, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the ratio of like good story and like mystery and adventure to actual times where I have to shoot a gun is like balanced enough where I'm like I'm having more fun than I am struggling.
Love that. Yeah.
So yeah. So I'm good and I'm loving it and I love these characters already and I can't wait to learn more.
Beauty. All right. Do you remember our sign-off?
I don't. What?
I'm gonna send you the words of it so kay. we can softly say it at the same time.
Okay. Good. Oh yeah. That's...
Okay, Normandy crew, gather round. Fucking
pieces
losers.
Of shit. Goddamn humans.
Yeah, you humans. Fucking humans. Fucking don't you forget that you exist
because
we allow it. And you
and
will
end
because
we demand it.
Hell yeah, baby.
Killer. Oh my God.